You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast, hosted by someone who lost his voice because of Nashville allergies.
You sound a lot like Punky Brewster.
Do I? Is that a good thing?
You'll have to Google it. You're probably too young to know who that is.
Probably. Well, New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as the community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. If you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus Membership on newchurches.com for coaching, templates, and exclusive content. Well, this week is Exponential Week. What's fun about this week is not only do we get to just meet and connect with so many church planters and multi-site leaders, but I've been able to lead workshops. We've been able to share our new research on multiplication. So what we did is, if you go to newchurches.com, if you're not a member, you can actually go there, sign up for free, and we'll send you a brand new ebook. This ebook is it's a deep dive into our multiplication research, what it means to be a multiplying church. It's called Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow, Practices, Barriers, and an Ecosystem by Ed and I. So go there, download it. If you are a member, we'll put links into the show notes where you can just log in and download that. But my voice, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I was supposed to preach this past weekend, but someone stepped in. Praise God for a teaching team.
Well, I can talk. Okay. I can't talk as much as Ed Stetzer, but I can still talk.
I think that's a good thing.
Well, you know, God didn't make me perfect. He just made me awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, today's question is from Stafford Greer, who is the pastor at Prairie Alliance Church in Manitoba. So let's listen in.
Hey there, my name is Stafford Greer. I am a pastor at Prairie Alliance Church in Manitoba, Canada. Prairie Alliance Church began in Portage la Prairie, a town of 13,000 people. Our congregation there is about 600 people, so it's a very large church in a small town. We've just planted a new church, or our first multi-site campus, an hour away in a town called Neepawa, which has 4,000 people. We are very much doing a multi-site model where we share vision, finances, direction, board, that kind of elements. But we're also realizing that we have a lot of church planting that we have to do here. We are breaking new soil in our community. My family and I moved and relocated to this community in October of 2015. We launched our very first service. Things have been going well. We have about 65 people currently in attendance, but my question is, where have you seen rural multi-site happen well, and what elements should we incorporate to help us succeed? Thanks for all you do. Love the podcast and the website.
All right. Thanks, Stafford, for submitting that question. What's interesting about that question is, I mean, obviously we could go on and say, hey, check out this church, this church, this church, but to label specific churches, I mean, that's... you know, obviously they have a context, there's unique DNA that they have. So I think the big question really behind this is, what are the elements of multi-site that can work if you're 10 miles away from the main campus,
yeah,
100 miles away from the main campus, 50 miles? So what are some of those elements?
I think the first thing that I would point out is he did the number one thing well, and that is he picked up and moved.
Yeah.
You cannot commute to community. And ultimately, especially in a rural setting, you run the risk of being their preacher and not their pastor.
Yeah.
So to give you an example of that, you know, where I'm from, middle of nowhere, Kentucky, there's like 6,000 people in the county. Mm-hmm. There's one stoplight. And I can remember a story of a young seminarian who, I mean, you know, it's about an hour away from Southern Seminary. So there's guys that come through, right? And they help these congregations of, you know, less than 100 folks. And a lot of times they'll do that through seminary and then they, you know, go to a new church. I mean, that's just the way it happens. And so one of them was very offended when downtown one day he was presented as or introduced as this person's preacher, not their pastor.
Yeah.
And the person went proceeded to tell them the difference between a preacher and a pastor. Preachers come and go.
Yeah.
pastors stay here. Pastors are one of us. Yeah. Pastors are one of us. And so in the more rural communities, I would assume as such in Canada, as it is here, that those communities are hard to get into, and you are going to have to serve them for a while before you're one of them. Now, I will say that care makes up for a lot of you may or may not click with a person, but if they care about you, that goes a long way. So I think that's a big thing, whether you're talking about pastoring a church or you're talking about one-on-one discipleship. In either case, care, man, that makes up for a lot of connection there. So that first element, sorry to take so long, but that is a very, very, very important element. You can't commute to community, so you must move in and you must put down some roots.
Well, what's interesting about that is when you see multi-site campus launches, right, oftentimes you'll see it as being, hey, our campus is coming into this neighborhood. You know, and I've seen this time and time again where it's like maybe it's in the newspaper or it's in postcards. They did a mailer or there are signs on the road. It's like, this campus is coming. This church is coming to your neighborhood. Now, that works if you're in a bigger city and people know that larger church and the kind of that bigger personality. But if you're going into a rural community, you're completely right. Relationships are so important, right? It's about the one of us. So maybe it's not about leading with your church coming, but it's about you coming, establishing relationships, and then starting that campus.
So what we would do when we would go into a new setting, two things. The potential team that was going to be there went in first to exegete the culture. They just went down there to begin to see how this place works before they did work there. And the cool thing about that was they kind of went in incognito. The next step was they began to serve in the community. We chose to go ahead and serve in the community under the overall name of our church, but I don't know that you would have to. It was good in that we didn't say we're coming. We just said, this is, you know, McLean Bible Church is serving in this area. The next thing that we did was getting really good relationships with the business owners of that community. Now, again, I'm talking about a more urban environment, but it was a specific neighborhood that we were going to. And so I think that was very helpful in establishing that. And we began to meet there. Basically it was, who do we have in this area already? Who can we, you know, tap to be really vibrant in this community where you want people to live, work, and play there, that live, work, and play there. So, and serve there. Yeah. So we did, you know, everything from getting engaged in the community boards, and, you know, raking leaves and doing all the typical things, to meeting with business owners, to, you know, just prayer walks. You know, it was all those things coupled together. That may not sound terribly earth-shattering, but I think work in either context.
Yeah, and the beauty of a multi-site strategy, and, you know, hear us correctly here, multi-site does not equate to video. There are tons of multi-site churches that have live preaching, but I think that's one of the biggest misnomers and some of the pushback we get at new churches.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you guys should all be only about church planting. And we're like, we're fully about church planting and we're fully about multi-site.
Well, it's really about, is this a plant, a replant, a relaunch? And all those things kind of get a little fuzzy in what they are, because there are so many rural churches, like the ones that I just spoke about, that there's not going to be a full-time guy that can go in there and serve that church. It is not financially possible. If so, they're going to have to be bivocational, and they're going to have to do it out of love more than anything else. The other option is you do have a replant or a relaunch. And in that case, I think that's where we will see more and more rural churches becoming multi-site, because they're just going to have a hard time filling the pulpit. The interesting thing too, if you look at Warren Bird's book Next, it was with William Vanderblumen. They talk about there's a massive gap between the number of people that are coming through seminary and coming through any formal education anyway to become pastors, as opposed to the number of people that are retiring from the pastorate in the next 10 to 20 years. Yeah. It is scary, mm-hmm. very scary.
Well, I mean, going back to the whole preaching thing, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this with a rural multi-site. Whether you do video preaching or team preaching, one of the things that's important for you to consider is the areas of scalability, the areas of redundancy, and that's the beauty of multi-site, right? So, you can look at the stewardship of finances, right? So there's, instead of having two financial boards or two treasurers or two, you know, you have one at the main campus, possibly, especially if you're going into a community and you only have 65 people there, have someone at central work with that, you know, and then you have the whole idea of branding, messaging, sermon series, and whether you do live preaching, you know, where you have a teaching team model or as video, the beauty of having a larger church behind you is that they are able to provide you with slides, right? They're able to provide you with create a creative process so that it's not just you preaching one standalone sermon after another.
And, you know, we've said before, leadership is poetry and plumbing.
Yeah.
And
it's the first time you said that on this podcast.
Really?
On the 5LQ podcast. I liked it when you dropped that. Now. Yeah.
but on this podcast, then, for you guys, leadership is both poetry and plumbing. And what that means is, 9 times out of 10, most of us will focus on the poetry portion, the vision casting, the preaching up front, you know, all that stuff. However, there's a ton, way more that happens in the systems and processes and structure and functions of the church, yeah. The nuts and bolts stuff that has to happen. And if it happens well, you know, that's it. You're much more likely to grow. So all that to say, if you can give away the plumbing pieces, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, as Daniel said, it's not just about, oh, multi-site equals video feed. Well, if multi-site equals preaching and pastoral care, let them deal with all the other plumbing issues. Yeah. And you just focus on, you know, those things. I think for some people it would be an amazing blessing to take the burden of all the extra stuff off of them.
Yeah, and let me end with this. When it comes to moving your congregants from consumers to committed followers, committed missional followers of Christ, one of the biggest things that you have to do is provide them with on-ramps to move from consumerism to being committed missional followers of Christ. Let me give you an example. Instead of saying to everyone, hey, you are all missionaries, right? You are all missionaries. You have to bless your neighbors. You have to reach out and evangelize to your coworkers. You need to serve the homeless. You need, by just preaching that and not giving people on-ramps to grow towards that is kind of, it's a little bit of an exercise in futility because it's going to be hard to motivate a lot of people towards it. So this is where the three levels come in place. Okay, so if you are a multi-site church, if you are a church plant and you're wanting to move your people more towards this, look at level one, right? Level one is all about giving people one-off service opportunities. Now, that could be serving in a soup kitchen. That could be doing a rake and run or whatever you call it, or in, what do you call it?
Ring and rake.
Ring and rake. Or in Canada, you know, a ring and a shovel. Whatever you may do, provide opportunities like that because that is the first step into helping people move to becoming a missionary. The beauty of this, Stafford, is because the main church, the central sending campus has 600 people, have a, organize a 3 times a year, 4 times a year mission trip where you get, you try to mobilize as many of those people as possible to the new community to do ring and rakes, to do service armories, to do that kind of thing so that you are moving people more to becoming missionaries rather than consumers. That's level one. Level two is about developing relationships. So having people not just do a one-off, but do it over and over again, serving with relationship. And level three is what Todd mentioned earlier. It's getting into more of the systemic issues, joining the soccer team, joining the board, joining, you know, here and there, really just getting into the community to serve deeply. Well, thanks again for listening to this week's edition of The New Church's Q&A podcast. I feel like my voice is a little bit better than when we started.
It's getting better.
Yeah. Well, I can sense the prayers. All right. That wasn't facetious. No, I really, people are, okay, let's end. Let's end right now. Anyways, hey, submit a question.
Sorry.
Submit a question. Newchurches.com. There's a submit a question sidebar. If you're on mobile device, speakpipe.com/newchurches. And once again, download the free ebook. It's, we've spent so much time looking into the research of what it looks like to be a multiplying church. So that book is going to benefit you. Check you out next time.